All right. Everybody, you get special East Coast International Church bonus points for being here right now. All right. If you just have no idea what we're talking about, in the first service today, the worship team's just about done, but before they had finished, the roof started leaking over here, and so we moved everybody over. And then the storm, just all of a sudden, inches of rain in just seemingly like minutes in our old Lynn sewer or drainage system, and it just couldn't keep up. So it came in through the doors and kind of flooded where you are all at right now. And now the problem is no one could leave because they would just go out in, and so the cars are floating out. I think my car is dead. And so the second floor, some people went up to the second floor. We told everybody, don't get electrocuted, stay off the water, and things like that. So everybody lived, as far as I know. So we're good. We made it through, and everybody went to work, which is one of the things I absolutely love about you. When it's time to work. And that was one of those moments, and everybody just sitting there saying, so give yourself a big round of applause. Good job, everybody. Let me also say thank you to many of you who have been volunteering with Beyond Walls this week. Beyond Walls doing a great job, and many of you, a lot of you have been volunteering. Good job. There are really signature moments for us, and the signature moments that are most significant in our church's history are always around one thing, and it's called service. We serve better than anybody else when it's time to serve. And when you serve, and you serve well, and you do it with great love, it changes the world. That's a great quote. Small things done with great love will change the world. Mother Teresa is attributed with that. But small things done in this city with great love change this city. And it really does work that way. So please continue to serve and to serve well. So I had a different message prepared for today. Obviously, things are a little different, so I'm going to save that one for next week, but I'm going to give you some of the backstory to what's happening, so you'll have like a bonus preparation for the message that starts next week, because next week we start a series on the book of Exodus. We're starting in Exodus chapter 1, and we're going all the way through. So if you're like, I don't know where that's at, you will know very soon, okay? So at the very beginning of the Bible, there are five books: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's called the Pentateuch. It is both in the Jewish and Christian scriptures, and it really is God's interaction with man, and it sets the tone for how we are to understand God's interaction with man and man's interaction with God. You get to Genesis chapter 15, and there's a guy named Abram. Somebody say Abram. Abram. Say it again, it's Abram, not Abraham, Abram, okay? His name wasn't Abraham yet, but it would be eventually. But Abram was a man that had had an encounter with the one true living God, and there's a lot of great backstory to that as well. But in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, it says this, and we'll read through. It says, I'll give the media team a chance to catch up, Genesis 15, 5. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. Now, if I were to take you outside at night tomorrow and say, hey, look up into the sky, how many stars do you see? You would answer what? Three or four? Because we're in the city. You can't see the stars in the city, all right? And you're like, no, that's just a satellite. Never mind. There's no stars. Okay, so, but in the desert, you could see thousands and thousands, 10 millions, billions of stars. You could see more stars than you can comprehend, than your eyes can actually pick up. He says, look up into the sky, count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Why was he righteous? Because he believed the Lord. He believed that God had just said it. Now, again, Abram is a guy that had just had an encounter with God, was hoping that God was who he said he was. He wasn't just a young guy either. And when all these promises would be fulfilled. Then the Lord told him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur and out of the Chaldeans to give you this land as your possession. So what is God giving Abram? The land. The land. The land as your possession. This is really important in when we get to Exodus, okay? So I'm setting you up for it. God promises Abram a piece of land, which is what we understand today to be Israel. The nation of Israel, or much of it, is like that. But Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I will actually possess it? Verse 9, then the Lord told him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So Abram presented all these to him. Abram presented them to God, and Abram killed them. So he's making a sacrifice with God. But this is more than just a sacrifice. This is the beginning of what's called a covenant, or what we would call today a promise or a contract. Tell your neighbor, a promise, a promise. So I wear a ring on my left finger. Do you know what that's for? It's my promise, right? It's a covenant. It's a promise that I've made that I will be married to my wife for the rest of my life. Or for her life, if she dies first. It's long. We discussed this quite a bit, who's going first. Anyhow. Watch how this covenant is made. Then Abram, he cut the animal down the middle. So like from the top of his head, right down the middle. Just cut him down the middle. Laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Just the big animals. I want you to get this. It's really gross. It's really like just raw meat. From an ant, just laying one half over here. One half over here. And there's a reason why. I'll explain in a minute. Fast forwarding. After this, verse 17. After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abraham saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch. Those are, the idea here is that God has showed up. But before we get to that, I want you to understand why Abram was laying these animal pieces out on the side. This is how people made contracts back then. You were just making a contract with another person. So if you're like, hey, I'm going to buy your land. And you're like, okay, I'll sell you my land. It's a contract that they're making. They would cut an animal in half, put it down, and then the two of them, sometimes it would go like this, the two guys would walk together hand in hand, and walk through the middle of that cut-up animal. And they would get to the other side. Like, this is a very strange tradition. They would look at us and say, all you do is sign paper? What? What does that mean? What this meant when they walked through it was this. I promise that I will fulfill my end of the bargain. And if I don't fulfill my end of the bargain, you can cut me in half just like this animal is right here. That's what it meant. It's a promise. You know, stick a needle in my eye kind of thing. You know, those kind of stuff. This is really bad when I don't have my straight up notes. All right, sorry. So what's happening here is Abram lays it out. And God makes a promise to Abram. But I want you to notice the rest, who goes in between the halves of the animal. Abram saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River. And it goes on. In the text that we just read, did Abram go through the animal? No, it was just God. Just God. God was making a promise to Abram that did not involve Abram at all. It was God promising himself that he would bless Abram and his descendants forever and ever and ever and ever, no matter what. It had nothing whatsoever to do with Abram. Abram was just the recipient of the blessing. God had made a promise to himself or a covenant, and Abram got to see it. This is a really important idea that Israel or Abram and his descendants would receive this inheritance from God, this blessing from God. And so here's the idea. Here's a great takeaway for a quick Sunday afternoon as the worship team comes up, if we have anyone left. God is saying to Abram, even if you are not faithful to me, I will be faithful to you. God is saying to Abram's descendants, who are not even there, but who would hear about this throughout the generations and how you can hear about it today, God is saying, even if you are not faithful, I will be faithful to you. My goodness has nothing whatsoever to do with your goodness. My intervention in your life has nothing whatsoever to do with whether you've been good or bad, whether you followed or did not follow. God would say, if I make a promise to you, I will fulfill it no matter where you are, what you've done, what you think about it, because it's not really conditional. It is an unconditional promise of blessing that God makes to Abram for he and his descendants to have this place for his people to prosper. And you will find out in the weeks and months ahead, they are called to be a blessed, they are going to be blessed to be a blessing, but it's going to take them a while to get there. It's going to take them a while to get there because God was faithful even when they weren't. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to close in prayer real quick here. That was just a good Sunday nugget right there. That's a good nugget. Sunday nuggets. Yeah. And so you'll understand next week a lot better. You'll understand next week a lot better. Let me pray for you before you go. Heavenly Father, today, I just want to say thank you. Thank you that you made the promise in spite of what we do. That you come after us no matter how fast we run. No matter how hard-hearted we get or how stubborn we are, you relentlessly pursue us. And we can see in your character that when you make a promise, when you make a covenant, that you hold true to it. That no matter what we've done, you honor your end. No matter the mess we're in, you still prosper and bless when you promise to prosper and bless. So God, today, would you help us to see your goodness everywhere we turn. Thank you that in spite of just some of the things we've done this week or thoughts we've thought this week, that you've had mercy on us, you've shown us grace, and that you still embrace us and call us your own. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you guys.